5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to the CB Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
And I'm Phil Gerrard. Why are we here, Phil?
Well, we are going to talk about the world's greatest disasters and slightly smaller disasters. Mm-hmm. What went wrong with them, how they went wrong, and whether they were our fault or God's fault.
All of those things are correct in each particular. But remember, Phil, you didn't bring this up. It's not our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rates in some of these disasters, is it, Phil?
No.
We're just interested in finding out what went wrong. And be honest with yourself, if it came on the news, you'd be interested, wouldn't you?
I would, Phil, but I wouldn't try and be the first person to break the news of the disaster on Facebook for likes and kudos.
Exactly.
I would not do that.
Exactly, because you're a man of morals and integrity.
Exactly.
What are we wanging on about this week?
New Coke!
Death and taxes and the picture of George Washington on the dollar bill. Those are among the few constants in a changing world. But now another of those constants may be changing. Coca-Cola is about to announce what it calls the most significant development in its history. James McManus reports.
The formula for Coca-Cola is called Merchandise 7X, a recipe so secret that it's locked inside this Atlanta bank vault, so successful that it's been tinkered with, but never dramatically changed in nearly 100 years. But tomorrow, Coca-Cola Company will tell a thirsty world it's putting a smoother, sweeter taste into the most instantly recognizable bottle in the world.
For the purposes of the podcast, I brought along a can of Coke, which I'm going to enjoy as we're...
Open it now.
The calories.
Nice.
Oh, lovely. I like Coke.
I love
and
it.
And it's so bad for you. You can taste. If you really try and sort of taste it, you know, have a like a Jilly Gordon taste of it.
God.
You can taste the 8 spoonfuls of sugar.
Oh, yeah. That's why I don't like normal Coke. That's why I prefer diet, because it hasn't got that.
But it's got
massive
some chemical.
Sugar hit.
But it's got some chemical instead, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's got some mad aspartame. Chemical.
What's that? Aspartame.
Aspartame is a sweetener, artificial sweetener.
And what's that doing to you?
Oh, I think arguably worse.
Is it?
But it tastes better.
Okay, Phil,
tastes better.
Philip Lucas.
Yes.
What was New Coke?
This was the Coca-Cola Company's attempt to change the flavour of 100-year-old Coca-Cola and launch it as New Coke.
When did this travesty happen?
April 1985.
How many people died?
To the best of my knowledge, Phil, nobody. So as far as I'm concerned, it's free for all in terms of what we can say on this podcast.
Yes! Love it. Difficult to make a train crash funny, I suppose. Also, nobody died. I mean, you're not including diabetes, are you?
Ah, well, yes.
I mean, it must be, linked to weight gain in some way.
I would suggest that if Coke has been a factor in your death or your illness, the rest of your diet probably isn't that good anyway.
And no one's died specifically of just Coke.
No.
Right? No one's like, oh, well, I had lentils for lunch, and then I went for a run, and then I drank 30 litres of Coke. Before we get going on this, tell me about Coca-Cola. Background me up.
Right, we all know Coke, don't we, Phil? We all know Coke.
Yep, sugar, fizz, and brown.
Yep.
That's what it is, isn't it? They're the ingredients of Coke, sugar, fizz, and brown.
As American as apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
As American as Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
It's the brand
yeah.
that we have to thank for making Father Christmas wear red.
Yeah.
Even though that is not at all true.
No.
It's the brand of cola that didn't cause Michael Jackson to severely burn himself on set when he was filming an advert for them in 1984, and in turn, as has been suggested, lead him to a painkiller addiction for the rest of his life.
No.
It was invented in 1885 by a chap called John Pemberton,
cool.
who was researching an alternative to morphine.
Oh my God,
which
really?
He had become addicted to it since being injured in the American Civil War. And who says wars can't produce good things?
You're telling me
no
this
war,
is a,
no coke.
You're telling me that this is a drink invented by a heroin addict to try and kick heroin? I mean, it is terribly tasty, isn't it?
He stumbled on a winner.
Mm.
It was originally patented as yep. Pemberton's French Wine Cola Nerve Tonic. Not snappy, is it?
Mm.
The name comes yep. from its two original ingredients, coca leaves and cola nuts.
Oh, so not cocaine, as a lot of people say.
No.
A lot of bullshit associated with
There's
Coke.
There's an awful lot of bullshit, and in any second now, I'm going to come to Coke myths.
Oh, cool, okay.
But for now, I'm going to give you another fact.
Yep.
In 1886, Pemberton developed a non-alcoholic version mm-hmm. that was sold as a patent medicine.
Wow.
A patent medicine is a medicine that is sold over the counter and purports to be a cure for things, even though there's no real medical evidence to back it up.
Lovely. Okay. But like you say, there's an awful lot of bollocks associated with Coke. People think that you can clean pound coins with it, right?
And all that sort of stuff. Shall I tell you the Coke myths?
Yeah.
Coca-Cola was originally green. No, it wasn't.
No.
Always been the same colour.
Yeah.
Traffic. Black. Blacker than the darkest night. Traffic cops have used Coke to clean stains of roads after traffic accidents.
I've not heard that.
No recorded incidents of that. Absolute cobblers.
I mean, why would you... No, bollocks, yeah.
Santa Claus traditionally wears red because it's the colour of Coca-Cola. Not true. Although, to be fair, when it comes to Christmas, the Coca advertising from the 1930s did actually play quite a big part in shaping him as the big kind of jolly bearded chap we know today.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So the
okay.
red thing is nothing.
Mm.
But previous to the Coke ads in the 30s, he was portrayed in lots of different ways, you know, tall, thin.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so Coke kind of helped to...
Make him a big fat man.
Yeah,
but... suppose it's in their interest for him to be a big fat man, I suppose.
Well, you would be if you drank that much Coke.
Exactly. Holidays are coming. Holidays are coming. Holidays are coming. Diabetes coming.
If you leave a tooth yep. in a glass of Coca-Cola overnight, it will totally dissolve. Total bollocks.
Yeah, because you did it, didn't you?
I did do it. I left one of mine in a glass of Coke for over 3 weeks. And although it got very dark, it did not dissolve.
Well, why would it? It's only sugar.
Exactly. Yeah. I still got that tooth.
Have you?
In fact, I tried to sell it on eBay. But the listing was removed, as you are not allowed to sell human body parts on eBay apart from hair.
Who would you sell it to? Apart from hair? Who the fuck
I don't
would you
make
sell
the rules.
You don't make the rules.
I don't know. That's the beauty of eBay. There might be someone out there who wanted my Coke-gilded
Yeah.
extracted tooth.
Yeah.
Never got to find out because eBay took it off.
Bastards.
Coke used to contain cocaine. Not true, according to the company. Although true up to 1903, according to some sources.
I mean...
So...
That's the most prevalent thing that people say about it, isn't it? Is it used to contain cocaine?
Yeah. But I don't think it did. But some people say it may have done.
Well, it was invented by a morphine addict. It's not like it's out of the way, is it, for him to tip a bit of cocaine in there?
And you know what? If it did, so what? Doesn't now.
No.
Phil, give me the background to all this New Coke stuff.
Do you remember New Coke? Do you remember it?
Vaguely. I never got to try it, which is a shame.
I don't think I ever got to try it either. What year were we? 1985. So I was only six.
Six? I was 15.
Oh, my God, you old bastard.
Mm.
I was only six, so I don't think I had it. I don't remember my parents being anti-Coke or anything like that.
Oh.
But I just don't remember it in the house. Maybe it didn't reach the countryside. The holidays are coming truck didn't come to the outskirts
no.
of Leamington Spa in the 80s.
You're probably having homemade lemonade yeah. and
all
barley water.
Yeah, elderflower
wine
where
yeah. you lived.
In the early 1980s, Phil, it was noted that the market for colas was steadily declining, which seems weird now, doesn't it? Because you just think that, like, everybody's buying Coke all the time.
Yeah.
But in the 80s, going down, consumers were increasingly purchasing diet and non-cola soft drinks, such as, I guess, the Nazi one, Fanta.
Fanta.
Do you know it's a Nazi drink?
I do.
great fact, that, isn't
it? Only because you told me.
Oh, did I?
I looked into it. And I was like, I like that fact.
The Nazi Coke.
That's going on with a good list of good facts, like Mike Nesmith from The Monkey's Mum invented Tippex.
Oh, that's still good.
top fact of all time, that one.
In the cola market itself, Coke was suffering because Pepsi, who had been very shrewd at marketing their product to a younger demographic, were starting to outsell Coke in supermarkets. And in blind taste tests, for some reason they love a blind taste test, Coke and Pepsi, about it, are consistently picking the sweeter taste of Pepsi Cola. How could it be sweeter?
I'm going to put it out there. I prefer Pepsi.
Do you really?
I do.
Absolute madness. Madness. Mm. To back this up, just after World War II, the market share for Coca-Cola was 60%.
Ooh, a lot.
But by 1983, it had declined to under 24%. So Coke's getting a bit nervous that its main competitor, Pepsi, is kicking them in the balls. Right? Coke began to question if the public had become tired of the great taste of...
The real thing.
The real thing. That's a bit arsey of them to say that, isn't it? Okay, had we reached a point after 100 years when people were just tired of Coke's taste? Fatefully for them, it was the conclusion the company reached after all of their market research. And they did quite a lot of research and found out people don't really like the taste of Coke anymore.
Ooh, so what are they going to do about it?
It now seems mad, but if you're losing market share, people aren't buying your product, and then you do blind taste tests and you do market research, and people tell you they don't like the taste, it's not exactly a difficult decision to make to say, well, should we change the taste? I mean, I would make that decision.
It is quite a logical decision.
Yeah.
In the cold heat of the moment, or whatever the phrase is.
In the cold heat of the moment.
I don't know.
Well, in the cold heat of the moment, Coca-Cola's senior executives commissioned a secret project to create a new flavour for Coke. I love how it's top secret. No one cares.
No one cares a toss.
No one cares, mate. Mm. It's like the secret mix of herbs and spices in KFC. No one cares, mate. No one's cared for years.
Yeah.
Okay, so the secret project known as Project Kansas, like it's the Second World War, took its name from a photo of a Kansas journalist, William Allen White, who was drinking a Coke. The image had been used extensively in Coca-Cola advertising and hung on several executives' walls. Do you think we'd recognise that picture?
No, I had a look for it, actually. No. Didn't recognise it. It's a very good picture.
And I tell you what, this was a secret. It was a big secret, Phil. Well, imagine it.
We're lucky to know about it.
Imagine the secretive world of the taste of Coke. The company's ad agency had its employees work their regular shifts, but then had them working after hours, working in a separate office to make sure nobody knew what was happening with the taste of Coke.
Bloody sort of Manhattan Project, is it?
And they're making it sound like that, aren't they? People working on the TV ads were told that it was just new packaging. No, but no, don't look round here, mate. And even Coke's bottlers were not let in on the secret until the day before the launch.
Wow.
Now, once Coke had developed the new flavour, they went out and tested it. Right? They're not idiots. Right? The company found that the new flavour overwhelmingly beat both regular Coke and Pepsi in taste tests. People fucking loved it! They went, you have mixed shitloads of sugar with a new bit of brown that is absolutely smashing my mind out, mate! Right? Everybody loved new Coke. They loved it. They've been so happy.
What a result.
People were asked if that was Coca-Cola, would you buy it? Right? Most taste testers said that they would. Right? If that was the taste of Coke, yep, I would buy that 100 times. Although a few said it would take a bit of getting used to, you know.
Yeah, fence-sitters. Fair enough.
Pernickety, cowardly bastards. But intriguingly, about 10 to 12% of the testers felt angry. Angry and alienated.
Oh, God.
Imagine the sense
There's
of entitlement.
There's the start of the snowflake generation.
The entitlement to feel agitated that the taste of Coke is different. Okay. And they felt alienated at the thought of a new Coke flavour and said they might stop drinking Coke or whatever if you change the taste. Mm. Almost immediately, the Coke management rejected an idea to make and sell a new flavour as a separate variety of Coca-Cola, which is what you'd imagine people would do. You've got cherry Coke, you've got vanilla Coke, you've got new Coke and you've got classic Coke. Mm. Why not? But they didn't want to do that. Fuck that. A new variety of Coke in competition with the very old variety, they thought, could have damaged Coke's sales and increased the proportion of Pepsi drinkers relative to Coke drinkers. It's a turf
it's
war.
Dog-eat-dog world.
It's a dog-eat-dog turf war. What they're doing is they're putting all of their troops into one forward position against Pepsi, right? Rather than splitting their troops into a classic Coke and a new Coke flank.
I like this analogy because I did spend a lot of yesterday looking at battle tactics on the English Civil War battlegrounds.
Why?
just got interested.
Yeah. You know. Something to do with unemployment, actually.
Okay. My favourite story in the Coke Wars was one in the Far East when Coke had exclusive rights to some football game and they had just plastered this football stadium with Coke banners absolutely everywhere. The whole stadium was Coke branded. So what Pepsi did is they just flew an airship over the stadium, branded in Pepsi logos, and just sat it there for the whole game. Oh, that was genius. Anyway.
So they've put all of their Coke eggs in one Coke basket, right? As Coke CEO, Phil?
Roberto Goswaiter
said, it's new Coke.
Or no Coke.
Exactly. So they're going for it, mate.
And the Americans do go for it when they go for something.
I think this is good. Just fucking go for it, mate. Mm. Do a thing. Do something.
Do something with your
life. So what was the launch like?
It was introduced on April the 23rd, 1985.
Yep.
And the production of the original formulation of Coke ended that week. The press conference, though, at New York City's Lincoln Center to introduce the new formula did not go well. Reporters had already been fed questions by Pepsi. They're clever, aren't they?
It's proper a war.
I love it. I love
spies.
It.
Pepsi spies in the crowd.
I love it.
It's shit. Who said that?
It's the taste. Oh, that's PG Tips, isn't it?
I see PG Tips are in there. Have a cup of tea. Wait for it all to blow over.
Old Goswaiter described the new flavour as bolder, rounder and more harmonious. And defended the change by saying that the drink's secret formula was not sacrosanct and inviolable. Goswaiter also refused to admit that taste tests had led to this change, even though they clearly had.
Why would he refuse to do that?
I don't know. They get it in their head that it's more important than it is, don't they?
Yeah.
He just said it's one of the easiest decisions we've ever made.
I think if they'd said, yeah, we did a load of taste tests, people love this. People might drink it and go, yeah.
You go, all right then.
I don't know why you'd have to. Why would you have to decide that it was some sort of God's idea that is somehow better?
Why didn't they just introduce it without telling anyone? No one would have known.
No one knows. You're tasting the brand. They've done like psychological tests to find that there is literally you're tasting the brand in that drink, not the actual taste, right?
Yeah. I mean, you do notice the difference between Coke and Roller Cola.
Yes, you do.
you do know that. And I would argue Lidl's Freeway Cola isn't quite in the same league.
Wrong kind of brown. That's what they're putting it in there. All the sugar, but not enough brown.
Virgin Cola used to be quite nice when they made that. That was quite nice.
All about Virgin Cola. That was nice.
The emphasis on the sweeter taste of the new flavour rankled among some at the press conference because it ran contrary to previous Coke advertising, in which spokesman Bill Cosby had touted Coke's less sweet taste as a reason to prefer it over Pepsi.
Whenever you pour a Coca-Cola into a glass right then and there, it's ready to drink. Unless you want to make it as sweet as, say, Pepsi. If you did, then you'd have to add some sweetener. You'd have to spoon it. You'd have to stir it up. Then drink it, because Pepsi's sweeter. See, that's the beauty of Coke. The only thing you have to do to make a perfect Coca-Cola is pour it. Maybe add some ice. Ready to drink Coca-Cola now. Coke is
it. Nevertheless, the company's stock went up on the announcement of the new Coke, and market research showed that 80% of the American public was aware of the change within a few days. So
it must have tasted different.
It must have tasted a bit different, yeah.
I'd love to taste it now.
Oh, I wish they still did it.
You know, it's a little bit like, you know, how nobody knows what Latin sounded like. No one knows what Latin accent was. Because it's a dead language. I'd love to know what new Coke tasted like. No way of finding out. Because not like you can brew it at home.
Wouldn't it be lovely if you could taste new Coke and then somebody could tell you what that taste was like, but in Latin?
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? The company introduced a new formula with big marketing pushes in New York. New York! Workers renovating the Statue of Liberty were symbolically the first Americans given cans to take home.
Oh, of course they are.
Americans love this sort of stuff,
don't they?
I quite like this sort of symbolism, though.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish to do more of it in this country.
You think?
I want more people round, proud
you do,
for the flag.
Don't you? Yeah. Yes, you do want more people rallying around the flag.
Mm.
And in Washington, D.C., they gave away thousands of free cans.
Capital City.
Get it out there. As soon as new Coke was introduced, a new formula was available at McDonald's, God bless them, and other drinks fountains in the United States. It seems fair enough that we've got a new Coke. You just
chuck it into all the places where you had the old Coke.
Yeah, absolutely. Sales figures from those cities and other areas where it had been introduced showed a reaction that went as the market researchers had predicted. pretty well.
Brilliant.
In fact, Coke sales were up 8% over the same period as the year before.
Can't argue with that.
Which you could put down to the fact that it's something new.
Could be people are intrigued, want to give it a go.
Like the new Doctor Who. The first series, that new Doctor Who, was always going to have big figures because everyone's like, what's the taste of the new Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Right? But...
New Lady Who,
right? But we're going to have to wait till the second series to find out if people actually like the flavour of the new Who. Most Coke drinkers resumed buying the new Coke at much the same level as they had the old one. Surveys indicated that a majority liked the new flavouring. This is all going well. Right? 3/4 of the respondents said they would buy new Coke again. The big test, however, remained in the southeast, where Coke was first bottled and tasted.
I think they mean the southeast of the USA, not Kent.
Not Kent. That's right.
I don't care what people in Maidstone were thinking about this.
Yeah, that's right.
No. Or UKIP strongholds on the Isle of Sheppey.
So basically, the home of Coke. Mm. This is where the backlash is starting. Take us through the backlash.
Okay. Despite New Coke's acceptance with a large number of Coca-Cola drinkers, many more resented the change in formula and were not shy about making that known.
Coke UKIP.
Essentially.
Everybody's bumbling along fine with New Coke, but then there's this hardcore Coke UKIP.
Many of these drinkers were Southerners, some of whom considered Coca-Cola a fundamental part of their regional identity.
Oh.
Like liquid Morris dancing. They viewed the company's decision to change the formula through the prism of the Civil War. Well,
oh
why wouldn't you?
God.
As another surrender to the Yankees.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
okay.
God. I bet the Dukes of Hazzard were livid about this.
Imagine that. Press.
Boss hog.
You're having like a conference about how New Coke's going. How's New Coke going? Some people are starting to talk about it in terms of the Civil War. What? What?
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Like that, you market a new bread, and you go, "We've got a nice new bread," and people start going, "Yeah, but like 9/11." What?
That's ridiculous. Company headquarters in Atlanta began receiving letters and telephone calls expressing anger or deep disappointment.
Wow.
The company received over 40,000 calls and letters, including one letter delivered to Goswaiter that was addressed to Chief Dodo, the Coca-Cola Company.
Wow, bloody hell.
Ooh, harsh. Another letter asked for his autograph as the signature of one of the dumbest executives in American business history because he thought it would likely become valuable in the future. The company hotline received over 1,500 calls a day compared to around 400 before the change, and it had to hire in new staff to handle them all. A psychiatrist who Coke had hired in to listen in on the calls told executives that some people sounded as if they were discussing the death of a family member.
I mean, I don't want to underplay this, but I think it's possibly an overreaction.
Yeah.
I mean, man alive.
I mean, it's a drink.
Yes, it's a drink. Is there something comparable in Britain? Is there some Marmite, I suppose, if Marmite changed the taste?
Well,
I can't think that people would have anything close to them. In Australia, maybe Vegemite, that's close to their sort of national identity, isn't it, I suppose? Maybe? I don't know.
I guess so. I don't know. I can't think of anything as British as...
tea in it, I suppose.
Spotted dick. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, so these people are angry, right?
Yeah.
From the South.
Yep.
But they were joined in their anger by people from other parts of the states. Chicago Tribune columnist Bob Green wrote some widely reprinted pieces ridiculing the new flavour and damning Coke's executives from having changed it. Comedians and talk show hosts, including Johnny Carson and David Letterman, made regular jokes mocking the switch. And ads for New Coke were booed heavily when they appeared on the scoreboard at the Houston Astrodrome.
Wow.
Even Fidel Castro, a longtime Coca-Cola drinker,
who knew?
Contributed to the backlash, calling New Coke a sign of American capitalist decadence. Whereas, of course, Old Coke was a socialist paradise.
Yeah, that's right.
Goswaiter's father expressed similar misgivings to his son, who later recalled that it was the only time his father had ever agreed with Castro, whose rule he had fled Cuba to avoid. This is getting quite geopolitical.
It's complete madness.
Mm. And talking of complete madness, you remember in that Hoover episode, we had some bloke started off a protest company.
Oh, cool. Have we got a protest group?
We have. We've got a guy called Gay Mullins.
Yep.
I've got a feeling he was called Gary, and I've just left out the R there.
Okay. Let's call him Gay, though.
Let's call him Gay. Gay Mullins, a Seattle retiree. So nothing on his hands.
Yeah.
He formed the organisation, the Old Coca-Cola Drinkers of America.
Oh, God.
To lobby Coca-Cola to either reintroduce the old formula or sell it to someone else. His organisation eventually received over 60,000 phone calls. He also filed a class action lawsuit against the company.
Wow.
Which was quickly dismissed by a judge who said he preferred the taste of Pepsi.
And had, like, murders to deal with.
Yeah. As a further kick in the nuts, though, to Gay Mullins, in two informal blind taste tests, he either failed to distinguish new Coke from old or expressed a preference for new Coke.
I bet there was so little difference. I bet it, it was a gnat's tit.
Despite ongoing resistance in the South, new Coke actually continued to do well. But, however, executives were uncertain how the international markets would react after all this.
Right.
For example, the executives met with the International Coke Bottlers in Monaco.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a good weekend. To their surprise, the bottlers were not interested in selling new Coke.
Oh.
God's waiter stated that Coca-Cola employees who liked new Coke felt unable to speak up due to peer pressure.
Bloody hell.
And the increasing anti-new Coke movement.
So they had to go underground. They had to drink Coke underground. Well, actually, I quite like it.
It's like talking if you voted leave, isn't it?
It's exactly that. It's it's pushed underground.
Donald Kiowa, the Coca-Cola president and chief operating officer, COO, reported overhearing someone at his country club say that they like new Coke, but they'd be damned if they let Coca-Cola know that.
Human beings are dickheads, aren't we?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's obviously better. It's obviously tastier. It's better in every way. Nobody wants to admit it.
They've had 100 years to think, can we do better than something to cure this bloke's morphine addiction that was banged up quickly? Oh, yeah, I reckon we could.
Yeah.
And you'd think they would. But anyway.
What a shame.
Phil,
What
was the response by Pepsi to all of this?
Pepsi took advantage of the situation. I mean, you absolutely would, wouldn't you? It's a gift, right? They ran ads in which a first-time Pepsi drinker, a Pepsi virgin, Phil, exclaimed,
"Can somebody out there tell me why Coke did it? Why have they changed? Now I'm going to try my first Pepsi. But I still want to know why Coke changed. Now I know why.
Pepsi, the choice of a new generation."
I don't get that.
I guess it's because, oh my God, the taste of Pepsi is amazing. So now I know why Coke was so scared, which is technically the reason, right? I think that's what it means.
Yeah, makes sense.
Roger Enrico, then director of Pepsi's North American operations, declared a company-wide holiday, saying, by this action, it is proper like warlike, isn't it? By this action, Coke has admitted that it's not the real thing.
And return him from the moon safely before this decade is out.
It's a little bit like April 1985, a day that will live in infamy. Okay. Pepsi took out a full-page ad in the New York Times proclaiming that Pepsi had won the long-running cola wars.
You'd go all out.
Despite all of this, though, Pepsi actually gained very few long-term converts over Coke's flavour switch. It didn't really work for them.
Shame.
Added to this are more woes for Coke. Some Coca-Cola executives had quietly been...
It's a good name for a book. More woes for Coke. It's like misery literature.
More woes for Coke sounds like an Alan Bennett sort of series of short stories, doesn't it?
More woes for Coke.
Some Coca-Cola executives had quietly been arguing for a reintroduction of the old formula as early as 2 weeks after launch.
Wow.
By mid-June, when soft drink sales usually start to rise, because it's getting hotter, mate.
Getting hotter.
The numbers showed that new Coke sales were starting to level among consumers. Mm. So the interest is... We're into the second series of Doctor Who. The interest is beginning to wane.
And maybe some of the negative publicity is making people go, actually, even though I can't taste
absolutely.
It, I don't like
it's starting
it, don't like
to
it.
Bite. Executives feared that social peer pressure, utter madness, was now affecting their bottom line.
Did not just say that.
You did, absolutely. Different words, I know. Some consumers... As domestic stocks of that old drink were exhausted, even began trying to obtain old Coke from overseas, the freaking Coke black market.
Wow.
In addition to this, there were public protests, boycotts, and bottles being emptied into the street in several cities as a sign of frustration.
Oh, get a life.
The company had other more serious reasons to be concerned, other than the fact that people are basically throwing Coke out into the streets and about the price of real Coke went up to like, you know, 30 quid a bottle. And people on the high seas. Its bottlers were expressing concern as they were also less than enthusiastic about the taste. Most of them saw great difficulty having to promote and sell the new drink. It seems strange to me. Just do your job. They were also tired of facing personal hassle over the change. God. That must have been annoying. Yes, I will come to the dinner. I don't want anybody to mention fucking new Coke. Many reported that some acquaintances and even friends and relative has ostracised them or had expressed displeasure.
Oh, we're having bottling Terry round tonight. He bottles new Coke.
Yeah, bastard. Anti-American Civil War scum.
Fifth columnist.
The company was now fearing boycotts, so talks about reintroducing the old formula moved from if to when. Mm. They've bottled it, Phil.
Hey!
They have bottled it. Finally, the Coca-Cola board decided that enough was enough and plans were set in motion to bring back old Coke. Basically, this is like Dunkirk now. They're all they're getting in the boats. They're getting the fuck out of France.
Yep. Coca-Cola executive announced the return of the original formula during the afternoon of July the 11th.
I'm Don Keogh, president of the Coca-Cola Company. When we brought you the new taste of Coke, we knew that millions would prefer it, and millions do. And we knew that it would beat the taste of our major competitor, and it does. What we didn't know was how many thousands of you would phone and write asking us to bring back the classic taste of original Coca-Cola. Well, we read and we listened, and you know the rest. They're both yours, the new taste of Coke and Coca-Cola Classic. Your right of choice is back.
ABC News's Peter Jennings interrupted General Hospital.
Oh my God.
With a special bulletin to share the news with viewers. On the floor of the US Senate, David Pryor called the reintroduction a meaningful moment in United States history.
This is like a Marx Brothers film.
The new product continued to be sold and retained the name until 1992,
right,
when it was renamed Coke 2. Now, that to me seems sensible.
Yeah.
The original formula was renamed Coca-Cola Classic.
Which it sort of still is, right?
Some places, yeah. Some who tasted the reintroduced formula were not convinced that the first batches really were the old Coke.
Yeah.
They thought they just told them it was.
There is definitely a chance that all of this is nonsense.
Yeah.
Isn't it? That they basically said it's got a new flavour and it's the same flavour. And then they changed it back and it's the same flavour. because there's no... I don't know what the taste of Coke is. You can't really describe it.
It changes, like... A plastic bottled Coke tastes different to a can Coke.
And it's not like, it's strawberry flavoured. It's like, it's gherkin flavoured. It's Coke flavoured.
Yeah.
So if you take it away, like if the taste of bananas, all of bananas, changed overnight, what does banana taste like if now there's nothing to judge it against?
Yeah.
Like if bananas and strawberries swapped tastes overnight, it'd be very difficult to go up to somebody and go, have you noticed that bananas have changed taste? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I see what you mean. At the press conference to announce the reversal, company president Donald Keogh stated...
What on earth brought us to the decision to bring back the classic taste which we so calmly abandoned back in April? The simple fact is that all of the time and money and skill poured into consumer research on the new Coca-Cola could not measure or reveal the depth and abiding emotional attachment to original Coca-Cola felt by so many people. Now, we knew that we'd hear concerns from certain quarters, but the passion for original Coke, and that's the word for it, really, it's passion. That passion was something that just flat caught us by surprise. It is not only geographical, it occurs everywhere, and you can't measure it. You can't measure it any more than you can measure love or patriotism or pride.
Look, it says it here, Gary Mullins.
Okay.
He wasn't Gay Mullins.
Sorry, Gary Mullins.
So Gary Mullins, who founded the old Coca-Cola Drinkers of America Pressure Group, but preferred new Coke in the blind taste test, he was given the first case of Coca-Cola Classic when it rolled off the production line. If I'd have been Coca-Cola, I'd have told old Gay to fuck off.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, Gay.
Yeah, you've caused half the problems. What a mess. Give me the aftermath, Phil.
By the end of that year, what a bleak year.
Whoa.
By the end of that first year of the Coke War, Coca-Cola Classic was substantially outselling both New Coke and Pepsi. There is a big argument to be made that this is a very successful marketing scam.
There is.
6 months after the rollout, Coke's sales had increased at more than twice the rate of Pepsi's.
Wow.
It kicked him in the balls. But New Coke sales dwindled to a 3% share of the market. Later research suggested that it was not the reintroduction of Coca-Cola Classic, but instead the nearly unnoticed rollout of Cherry Coke.
Oh.
That can be credited with the company's success in 1985. Interesting.
So they made no fuss about Cherry Coke.
Went in under the wire. It was a secret mission.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry Coke to get it into France.
Yeah.
Without anyone noticing. So give us the post-mortem. What's the what's the takeaway from the New Coke scandal?
Well, the Coca-Cola company spent a considerable amount of time trying to figure out where it had made a mistake.
Yeah.
Ultimately concluding that it had underestimated the public reaction of the portion of the customer base that would be alienated by the switch. In other words, listening to twats.
Yeah.
This would not emerge for several years afterwards, however. And in the meantime, the public simply concluded that the company had just failed to consider the public's attachment to the idea of what the old Coke formulas represented.
It does seem like this is a symbolic
battle. It's a symbolic thing,
isn't it? It's nothing to do with the taste.
Yeah, exactly. And while that has been conventional wisdom in the ensuing years, I mean, we're always talking about it, aren't we?
Yeah.
Some analyses have suggested otherwise.
Oh, interesting.
Now, as the episode did more to position and define Coca-Cola as a brand embodying values distinct from Pepsi than any deliberate effort to do so on the part of the company, it's allowed Coke to be portrayed as a somewhat clueless large corporation, forced to withdraw from a big change by overwhelming public pressure.
Yeah.
As Alkio, the old COO, said,
"We love any retreat which has us rushing towards our best customers with the product they love the most." Basically, it's like saying, "Oh, sorry, America, we didn't know you loved us so much.
Yeah.
We had no idea we were such a massive part of the
American history and
culture. If this was done surreptitiously, it is the greatest marketing ploy of all time because it has utterly solidified Coke as like being central to the idea of America, isn't it?
I mean, even if it wasn't deliberate, it's worked ultimately for
them.
Yes,
that's right.
But the fiasco of New Coke led Bill Cosby to end his long-running advertising for Coca-Cola. Cosby claimed that his commercials praising the superiority of the new formula had hurt his credibility. You wait another 20 years, Bill.
They are dodging bullets left, right and centre. This is incredible. Like, they've come out of this so much stronger and better. And not only that, they have absolutely unwittingly got rid of one of the most toxic celebrities. It couldn't be worse if it had been Jimmy Savile advertising Coke. That's an incredible turnaround for them.
They've done all right, haven't they? Yeah. Now, nobody at Coca-Cola was fired.
I imagine they're all promoted.
Yeah. Or held responsible for still what is widely perceived as a mishap for the simple reason that ultimately it wasn't.
No.
When Goswaiter died in 1997, the company's share price was well above what it had been when he took over 16 years previous.
Wow.
And its addition as market leader was even more firmly established.
This is incredible.
Yeah. By the late 90s, Sergio Zayman, who is the marketeer behind the launch of New Coke, summed up the whole experience. It infuriated the public, cost us a ton of money, and lasted for only 77 days. However, New Coke was still a success because it revitalised the brand and reattached the public to Coke.
It was a resounding success.
Yeah. In the short run, the reintroduction of Coca-Cola saved Coke sales figures and brought it back in the good graces of many customers and bottlers.
Yeah.
Phone calls and letters to the company were as joyful and as thankful as they had been angry and depressed. "You'd have thought we'd cured cancer," said one executive.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, New Coke limped on under various names, including Coke 2, eventually got rid of altogether in 2002, despite still regularly winning all the blind taste tests.
This is an amazing story.
Mm.
Now, you'd think that was that, but it's not so. Because whenever there's a big event, some dickhead will always come up with a conspiracy theory, and there are lots of them regarding New Coke. The first conspiracy theory is the company intentionally changed the formula, hoping consumers would be upset with the company and demand the original formula to return, to essentially what happened, which in turn would cause sales to spike. Company president Donald Keough answered this speculation by saying,
"Some critics will say that we planned the whole thing. The truth is, we're not that dumb, and we're not that smart."
That would take me 2 weeks to sit in front of my computer and come up with that as an answer. I bet he just did that off the cuff. That's why he's a CEO worth millions.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. They're not that dumb and they're not that smart. You would have to be so clever to pull that off. And also really, really thick.
Yeah, that's great. It's brilliant.
The second conspiracy theory, the switch was planned all along to cover the change from sugar-sweetened Coke to the much less expensive high-fructose corn syrup.
HFCS.
There's something in this. Because like we were talking about changing the taste of bananas overnight, as long as you don't have any way of comparing two products, then you get away with anything.
Yeah.
And you know when like Cadbury's chocolate are doing this all the time. Cadbury's chocolate gets shitter every year. We all know it gets shitter, but we've got nothing to compare it to.
You can't compare it to the old stuff because you can't get hold of it.
Can't go back, right? In fact, Coca-Cola began removing up to half of the product's cane sugar 5 years before the introduction of New Coke.
That means that the conspiracy theory is cobblers.
Because it was happening anyway.
Yeah.
Debunked. Debunked. By the time the new formula was introduced, most Coke was corn syrup.
Yeah, see, that's rubbish then.
I don't think it's debunked, because if you've got a product that's changing and you want to mask the change in that taste, well, then what better way of doing it than making a big change and then pulling it back to somewhere closer to where it was before, but nowhere near?
Oh, I see.
Pull it back to where you originally wanted to go. If you want a pay rise, Phil, pay rise to
from
30.
Who?
From whoever's paying you at the moment. I don't know what you've got, mafia money coming in. But if you want to go, if you want to get a 30 grand, you've got to go in at 40.
Well.
And then seem upset when they put you down to 30. Right? Number three, the third conspiracy theory.
Right.
It provided cover.
Provided cover.
For the final removal of all coca derivatives from the product to placate the Drug Enforcement Administration.
Jesus.
This one's bullshit. Okay. The DEA was trying to eradicate the plant worldwide, the coca plant, to combat an increase in cocaine trafficking and consumption. Ah, I don't know about this, mate. While Coke's executives were indeed relieved the new formula contained no coca and concerned about the long-term future of the Peruvian government-owned coca fields that supplied it, in the face of increasing DEA pressure to end cultivation of the crop, there was no direct pressure from the DEA on Coca-Cola to do so.
Listeners may want to know that what you heard there is about the 19th take of Phil trying that sentence.
What a difficult sentence. So, Phil, that was the incredible clusterfuck that was New Coke. Our fault, God's fault?
It was probably the American public's fault.
Yes.
For caring so much about something that was so unimportant.
Yes, such an unimportant thing.
On the flip side, you don't know what you missed till it's gone.
Yeah.
So maybe they were right to rebel early on.
Yeah.
But maybe, Phil, maybe it is something deeper. Maybe Coke is such an ingrained brand.
Yeah.
Something that has such a mystique, heritage, and pedigree amongst the American public, that people simply don't like a bunch of faceless executives messing about with heritage.
Yeah. I think it's strange to care about any of this at all.
Yeah.
Like to have any sort of any feeling of patriotism or closeness or to a brand just seems completely insane to me. But people really do.
What's that book? There's a big book all about how it's not about products now, it's about brands. It came
no
out
logo?
About 10 years ago. No Logo by Naomi Klein.
Yeah, that's right.
Good book.
Yeah.
Good book.
Well, that can be our plug.
No Thomas the Tank Engine, but it is a good book.
Yeah, that's right. So, that was the new Coke scandal. Phil, do you enjoy it?
I did enjoy that.
Excellent. I thought it was a great one. I wish we'd had longer to do it, to be honest.
I'm going to go home and have a Pepsi.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to have a Nazi Fanta. What are we doing next time?
Next time we are talking about the Bradford sweet poisoning of 1858. This is one of my favourites that I've researched for
this. I'm really looking forward to that one. That's going to be a really fun one. I hadn't heard of the Bradford sweet poisoning until about whenever it was we found it.
I'll leave you just think about Humbug Billy.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much for listening. You can get in touch with us in all the usual places, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah, CB Wallop, we are on Twitter. Instagram as well, we're now there at Wallop Bang.
Lovely.
iTunes, if you do like this episode and you want us to keep us going, if you could just see yourself to put a little review up there, if it's a good one, that would be amazing. We are genuinely really grateful. We get quite excited when we see we've got a new review.
Definitely. It's the best thing in the world, isn't it?
It's lovely, yeah.
If there are any podcasts out there you should think are similar to ours or sister podcasts to us, get in touch with us. We'll plug the tits off them. Try and get a bit of synergy going.
Yeah.
More than happy to do that. Anything else to add, Mr. Phil Lucas?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening. We will see you in 2 weeks with a fabulous Victorian sweet poisoning case. Thanks very much. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.